This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Bench is an online bookkeeping service that provides you with tax-ready financial statements from professional bookkeepers. It's everything you need to forget about your bookkeeping without actually forgetting about your bookkeeping. Go to www.bench.co/rocketship to save 20% off your first 6 months.
Welcome to the Rocketship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Matt Goldman.
And I'm Joelle Goldman. Today we talked with Jeff Epstein, the founder of Ambassador. What'd you guys think of this one?
We learned a lot about how he's taking his software product and making it work for different use cases and different verticals, and the way they're approaching that from the, you know, team side all the way through to pricing is really, really interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, it's always great to hear about the sales process they're taking and how they're kind of taking this old idea that's, you know, kind of wrapped up in a new way to market and making it attractive to kind of tech companies. And it's a good episode on sales and tactics. So let's get into it.
Alex Blumberg is a master storyteller. You probably know him from This American Life or his other podcast, Startup. He's offering a course on Creative Live all about how to tell a great story. And we've got a sneak peek for you right here.
Anyone can benefit from learning to tell better audio stories. Whether you're a reporter on the radio or you're an entrepreneur trying to tell an effective story about your business, maybe you just have a job where you need to communicate effectively to large groups of people, anybody can benefit from learning to tell a better story. In this workshop, what I'm doing is sort of unpacking what exactly is a story, how can you be effective in telling stories, and how can you lay them out in a way that they get maximum impact to your audience.
Go to creativelive.com/rocketship to save 30% off this course and others.
So, Jeff, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to talk about a little sales. But yeah, first, tell me a bit about Ambassador, what you guys are doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Ambassador, we help companies track and manage referrals. So if you think about the Uber referral program or Airbnb or Dropbox, those types of referral programs, we basically help companies of really of any size in any industry build a seamless referral model into their website or app. We also help, obviously, from the tracking perspective, from the UI, and most importantly, from the management reward as well. So it's really the entire kind of end-to-end referral needs. And again, it works with companies across verticals and integrates with many of the third-party systems that companies are using.
Why was this a problem that you wanted to set out to solve?
So my background, and to give you a little bit of context, so I about 8 or 9 years ago, was in the affiliate marketing space. And the problem at the time, and this is even pre-Facebook and Twitter, at least kind of a critical mass, the problem was that the affiliate channel was a very lucrative and efficient channel for big companies, for big brands. But from a small company perspective, unless you had a name brand, it was almost impossible to get people to refer on your behalf, right? And the only way to kind of have this wide distribution net was to find kind of publishers who would take your brand and put it on their website as maybe a banner ad or something. Just thinking about that model, what I did was try to leverage the individual referrals. And at the time, we were doing this through AOL Instant Messenger. Then as Facebook and Twitter and social media became more popular, I realized that individuals could also be or are becoming, and now it's pretty synonymous with being publishers. So individuals had the same reach that many publishers did, like Yahoo or CNN did, 10 years ago. So really, it's really taking the spin on what was previously affiliate marketing and really bringing it down to the individual level. And then what we found was that obviously those, what we call ambassadors, but those individuals who have your best intentions in mind. They care about your brand. They have an affinity to be related to your company. They are much more important and much more valuable than someone kind of just looking for money. So it was really the combination of the, I wouldn't say problems, but really the evolution in terms of technology and the way that we can communicate with other people. And put that in a platform that's scalable and can be utilized from a product perspective, opposed to just walking into a network and having to kind of go by their rules. So it's really giving a company more power over their destiny.
Nice. And like, just to get some of the, I guess, the lingo clear, it's referral marketing. What is that to you? What does that mean when companies use referral marketing as a strategy?
Sure. And I think this, the compelling thing for us is that this category is still truly being defined.
Okay.
So the way that we see referral marketing, and we see referral marketing as really an umbrella that encompasses a few different commonly seen tactics, let's say. So one is like a customer referral program. And again, that's the one that we see most often. That was what we would call like Uber or Lyft, where someone is using a product and they're quickly referring somebody and giving them leads or new customers. We also see the like partner programs, whether it's a broker or let's say a developer who builds shopping carts and they tend to send companies to Stripe. Let's say they could be a partner of Stripe and get a recurring rev share. So we work with a lot of SaaS companies who have with. Evolution is one of them, or Sage. We have a lot of companies who have partners and contractors. And then the third use case that we really see often is the more traditional affiliate model. And in that, the distinction for us is the affiliates tend to be people that may not add any value. They may not necessarily know the product intimately or even care a ton about the product, but they do have a way to drive traffic and leads and ultimately, ideally, you know, signups for companies, and they're willing to, you know, to leverage those channels. Those are the three main umbrellas, but I think even as the space evolves in kind of the marketing space, we're seeing more like influencer marketing. And I think those also play a role in kind of this fragmented space that we're living in right now.
Interesting. And so what does your sales look like on this? How have you gotten to market and gotten in front of people?
Yeah. So that's the interesting part, is that because there's not one single, you know, people aren't looking for a CRM. They're really looking for a bunch of different things. So, you know, being called ambassador certainly helps. Companies, I think, at the end of the day, are looking for new channels to grow their business, right? At the end of the day, that's what's going to allow us to survive as a company, allow, you know, any company to survive, is having customers and sales. And so what we're really doing is, you know, we're obviously using some of those, you know, we're being found, which is great, and companies are searching more and more for, you know, referrals, refer a friend, affiliate, influencer. We're seeing all of those terms come up as ways people are finding us. So we are really, you know, in the early stages of really, again, kind of determining what this category looks like. And so that's one of the challenges, I think, but it's also a really amazing opportunity for us. So aside from that, I mean, obviously we're looking at the customers that are successful. So from an outbound perspective, seeing the companies that have found us have been really successful. And again, that's across multiple verticals. And, you know, finding people like them who would also be successful given kind of the variables that we're seeing. Those are I guess, our best kind of sales tactics from that perspective. But a vast majority of our contacts and leads are inbound.
This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
So affiliate marketing is nothing new, but historically the software has been known to be basically a nightmare. So are you finding that a lot of the people that are using Ambassador are coming from older tools, or are these people who are starting an affiliate program for the first time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would tell you the people that are coming in thinking about it from an affiliate perspective, and again, some of it is just frame of reference experience that they've had. Typically, if they're thinking about affiliates, they've had affiliate marketing programs before. So I think you're right about that. When it comes to referrals or referral marketing, a lot of people find us from ambassador marketing. Those are where people say, we know anecdotally this is going to work really well, or we know that people are referring, but we have no idea how to track this, how to manage this, how to optimize it. And in those cases, they're starting from scratch. I think when you see some of the older, you know, again, affiliate marketing, as you mentioned, an older kind of decently well-known channel, those people tend to say, you know, I did this at a previous job, or I worked, I worked in affiliate marketing, and I kind of get what you guys are doing, and I think you have put a cool twist on that. It's not as it's not as antiquated or it's not as rigid as kind of the old systems. It's really putting a nice kind of face on what it could be.
And you're hiring at the rate that you are. How are you able to keep a strong culture and keep consistency across the team?
So that's been culture and hiring has been a huge priority for us. And what we've found, and it's one of those things that as you start a company and you hear experienced entrepreneurs, they'll tell you about culture and how important it is. And for me, it was one of those things where I always heard them, but I always thought, oh, that just like kind of works itself out. And I've realized that that's definitely not the case. And we've actually been really, really fortunate and had great people, but it's something that you have to be super mindful and thoughtful about. And for us, what we've done is about our 25th employee, we hired like a head of people who literally their sole job is to both find amazing people and make everyone on our team better and engage them in a way so that they're super excited about everything we do. And then, from there, it kind of flows down to the way that we operate. So we recently had our first kind of offsite annual summit. We talked through kind of our plan for the year. We're super transparent, kind of give everybody really a window into how we're thinking about not only growing the company, but kind of some of the financials and some of our metrics that everyone is kind of focused on and all the teams are focused on, and really trying to get everybody bought in. And again, the cool part is I think everybody already was bought in, but really giving them more ownership into how we're thinking about it and to have the transparency to see that, because it's super critical. And then as we grow, making sure that we keep any new candidate focused on and making sure we're measuring them against those values and kind of those metrics that we're trying to hit.
So the sales culture is always tough. It's a very competitive, kind of sector of the business, but yet you kind of need everyone to get along. How do you guys handle incentives and even kind of the churn of a sales, of your sales force?
So that is a great question. And I tell you the best answer for that is our VP of sales has one of my favorite things about him and his track record is he has a super, super low turnover rate. I know some philosophies across sales managers and sales leaders is that a certain percentage have to go and can't make it. And our philosophy is actually the opposite of that. We look to have 100% 100% retention. Our goal is as a team, one of them is a 0%, zero regrettable loss across the org. And again, I know that doesn't relate to sales, but really we are. Philosophy from a sales perspective is to coach up and find people and make sure that we're making the right hires instead of hiring anybody and then cutting kind of the bottom third or bottom quarter. So we actually haven't had that problem, which is really nice. From an incentive perspective, I think we try to align all of our team on the same incentives for the company. Obviously, some people are compensated differently and hasn't been an issue, and I think it's again the beauty is the people I think in our company know where everyone's at, so there aren't really any surprises. So part of I think the feedback or challenges that companies may get is when people have no idea what's going on and they're kind of blindsided by some information, whether it's roles or comps or things like that. So we've been open. Everyone kind of knows how we operate, and we've really. It's allowed us to not have to deal with some of those issues that maybe other companies do.
So how do you guys, or do you guys use your own software and philosophy to grow your business through referrals and affiliates and partnerships?
Yeah, we use our software a lot. We actually have on our page at getambassador.com/referfriend, and referfriend, there are dashes in there. We have a referral program you can sign up for. We give a $25 gift card if you refer someone who does a demo, and an Apple Watch if they end up buying. So we do it. We have dozens of Apple Watches going up. We have a pretty good relationship with Apple. The Apple Store buys us because we buy so many Apple Watches, so they really love us. They bring them to our office. But yeah, it works really well. We've seen really great success. Many of our customers come from referrals, and some of them don't even sign up, but we still send them the watch. We see them, we track those through our Salesforce, actually. So it's a great. Obviously, we eat our own dog food, and we leverage it quite a bit, and we've been playing with some testing and optimization and things like that. As we start to build out our own marketing team, so we were even a little early in terms of kind of the stage of our company. Earlier this year, we had literally one person doing everything marketing. So now, as we actually have a marketing team, we have someone who can actually focus on the referral program and spend a significant chunk of their time thinking about it and managing it. So that's been as we've gone through this year, we've been able to put a much more time into our referral program, and it's we've seen much higher results. It's X100% more referrals, and last month we probably had 30 or 40 demos referred, so it was quite a few. And several of those are in the sales cycle and closing. And I know we've sent out, like I said, a couple dozen watches already this year. So it's been nice. It's been a real big boost for us.
So the Apple Watch is interesting. I'm curious what kind of information or experience or data you have around what you offer people, whether it's cash or like a product, a watch or something like that. And then if there's a threshold where it doesn't really matter anymore, like how much more they're offered. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And it's something that we're saying, there's a couple variables in play that make it tough, because we get this question probably 80% of the time, which is a great question. And the answer is based on a few different things, but one is it really matters who you're looking for in terms of who you're targeting for the referral. And again, this also depends on what we would, how we would label the program you're running. So our platform allows you to run, let's say, an employee referral program alongside a partner program. So the partner may want a rev share if it's SaaS, like you may want 10% recurring rev share for life, right? Because they're going to maybe help install it and do some maintenance and things like that. Where an employee, you may give them a $1,000 bonus. So companies do that. So it depends. And I think it first and foremost depends on who you're targeting. Gift cards work really well in general. Cash obviously always works well. If it's going to be a partner or sort of a longer term relationship, you can do a recurring rev share. And obviously those are consultants and people who are in the business of maybe, making money over longer periods of time, where they see that value. And many of our customers who, pay out millions of dollars a year, they're working with partners who, have a book of business, and they've helped integrate technologies and things like that, or even insurance and things like that. I do think there also is a threshold, but it also depends on the relationship that these referring parties have with your brand. So in some cases, you'll see, and this is obviously kind of across the world, people are going to refer Apple for free because they love Apple and they love Apple products, and they think everybody should have them. So I think as you move on that spectrum between someone being the biggest fan ever for your product or service to someone who is indifferent, I think you have to give them an even bigger incentive to get them to do something. So it really is a sliding scale. Some companies, public companies, some big brands, we know you guys can get away with doing something very little just to keep it top of mind, to engage people. But if it's a really tough product or something that you wouldn't refer, regularly, those are going to have people have to get more creative, I think. And that's really what, part of our sales process, and this is actually a huge component, is we have a success team that is required. You work with our team. We onboard you, but we also coach you through and talk through your kind of marketing strategy in terms of how people are, engaging with you through across social channels and other ways. So we can learn what are some things we can test? What are some things that we can think about in terms of a incentive that will work? And again, for every company, it's different. But those are things that we're thinking about in terms of thresholds. And we typically say, start on the low end of what you'd expect to give. We can always move it up. It's much more difficult to move it down. Obviously, we want to calculate ROI and LTV and all those other factors, and margins all play a role. So those are things which vary greatly between, a consumer electronics company and, a SaaS software company, for example.
So if a company signs up with you guys and they have a decent offer, but the program just isn't really getting off the ground, what are some common reasons why you see that happen?
The biggest reason that happens is because it's that the program isn't top of mind or isn't easy. Those I think those go hand in hand. Making it easy to share is imperative. But what that means typically is putting it in a place with super low friction, either on your website or app, keeping it very easy in terms of the barrier for receiving rewards, for actually sharing itself. Sometimes companies will build this into the app. Obviously, like a company like Uber, Airbnb, it's front and center. It's really easy to access, and they make it really clear in terms of the rules. What we find that's challenging is sometimes, and we see this a lot, is companies will overcomplicate the different tiers and the incentives, and it'll just be a crazy, usually less is more. And our platform will allow you to get crazy and do really complex structures. But if you say, hey, refer somebody and get a $25 gift card, it's very intuitive. We get it, make it really easy. Those things tend to work well. And companies also, I think the other more important thing is, if it's not a, say, you know, consumer electronics, some of those things are, you can share all day long and it makes sense. But other products and services are, they're more opportunistic. And what I mean by that is, if someone asks me to refer, you know, a product, let's say, I may not be referring it every day on LinkedIn, but I may find a time where it makes sense for me to refer it to a select group of people. And, you know, companies have to expect not everybody's going to start sharing just because you roll out the program on day one. So some of it, again, is the cadence of messaging and making sure that it's top of mind. So when the opportunity arises, that it makes sense. And we do see that, like, one of the things that we see, you know, across the board is the company's performance in their 9th month is better than their 6th, and in their 18th month is better than their 12th. And it happens with every single company we have. And that's because it takes time. Like, people don't know about it. They're not always in a position where they're going to share effectively. And it's not always about just blasting it out to people. It's really making a thoughtful, you know, smart referral that actually is going to close and likely be a much higher, you know, lifetime value customer and a much better customer.
Is pricing difficult to get right when you're going after 3 different use cases and so many different size companies?
Yes. Pricing is really tough. And I mean, I would even tell you, aside from that fact, it's also that there's no defined price yet in this category. So, and I can tell you an interesting story. So we came into this market and there were a couple competitors that were bigger, more established, more well-funded. Although they were SaaS in terms of the structure of payment, they were much more like agencies. So because of that, they charged mid five figures, like 30, 60 grand per pretty much every time. We came in, you know, brash, you know, willing to work really cheap, and undercut them and would occasionally win some deals off them. But what you realize, and again, I think what's more common to read now is that you really need to charge more if you want to provide all this, you know, all the support and infrastructure and all the security, you know, functionality, all these things that companies are looking for that are that size, right? So what we've been doing is, you know, we've increased our price, but we've also, and I think proportionally and even more so, increased our service and really bringing the service side of software as a service to these companies. So, you know, that's, we've been taking more and more customers from our old competitors, and we're blowing them out of the water from a service perspective. And ultimately, that's what you have to do. Like, the product is better. I think that's, you know, objectively, you know, it's not even close, but where we really win is with service. And that means answering a question quickly, helping them get onboarded fast, not sending them to a call center where people aren't available, but really being there to answer the questions and know their account. So that's been a challenge. But because of that, we have to charge more. So what's happened for us is we actually are on the top of the market in terms of price now, and we see our competitors undercutting us. So it's a role reversal, which is pretty funny. But we just recently onboarded a customer today. Our biggest competitor was charging 60% of what we told them it would be. So they picked them. And then 2 months later, they called us and said, your competitor can't get us on board. We haven't been able to do it. We need to be up and running by Christmas. So we said, okay, well, you know, price is still the price. We can't really help you there. But if you guys can sign it, we'll get you up and running. And we signed it. They signed it a week ago. Yesterday was our team party. Everyone was supposed to leave at 4, and we had 4 of our success team members on a call with this company until 5. And then today we launched it. So we got it done. They're super pumped. But at the end of the day, like, you know, it's tough. Like, right, the pricing conversation is tough. And but, you know, we put 4 senior people on that for a couple hours, like that, you know. But and we'll keep working with them as there are more problems arise if they do. But that's kind of what you have to do. And to hire good people and to have a good culture and to make those things possible, you know, we have to charge more. So that's kind of where we've come out on it. And I think it's worked. And we're just finding companies that are investing in it too. So it's been a good trade-off for us.
And I imagine with the $200 price point being the lowest, it weeds out a lot of people who aren't ready yet to do this program. And those are people who probably complain the most about price. But really, if they were ready to do it, $200 wouldn't be a problem. Do you see that?
Exactly. And the way that, and again, the beauty of kind of starting a company, and again, myself included, I was in this position too where, man, if you hear a price point of even $100, that's a lot of money. And I mean, in some ways it is. But then when you just think about like the cost of doing business, like the cost of having a bug that affecting like a customer or multiple customers, or those types of those challenges or those things that come up when you're having those issues, they're critical. They can cost you tens of thousands of dollars in lost opportunity or whatever. So I can fundamentally agree. Our $200 plan is not even widely sold. And to be honest, the prices that are lower than that, what we found is that our competitors who are at a lower price point, they are our best lead gen. People will sample their products, understand the limitations, and say, we know this is going to work. We see the ROI, but we need something that actually can manage this end-to-end process in a much better way. So some of our best customers and fastest closing customers are ones who have been using really cheap solutions and said, all right, we vetted it out. We know it works. Help us migrate. And, you know, we're excited to learn about what we can do with all your, you know, best practices and feedback. So that's been like a really pleasant surprise from really, you know, moving up market. But along with that, we had to, you know, the product had to evolve too. So we couldn't just offer the same product. It has to be something that's much more robust than, you know, the companies that are coming in at the much lower price points.
So, Jeff, tell everyone where they can keep up with you and Ambassador online and get signed up for one of your programs.
Absolutely. So the best way, obviously find us on our website. It's getambassador.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, and our handle is @ambassador, @ambassador. And if you want to follow me at Twitter, I am @Jeff_Epstein. Definitely feel free to ping me. I love engaging with entrepreneurs and love talking about strategy and tactics. It's awesome. I know a lot of the folks have been in Rockchip, so it's been really cool to kind of see all the, you know, the different podcasts you guys have had. So many friends and lots of people that I admire. So it's really, really appreciate being a part of it.
Well, thank you very
much. That's awesome. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocketship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And while you're there, make sure you sign up for our newsletter, where twice monthly we send out actionable advice for entrepreneurs and exclusive links to AMAs with our guests. That's rocketship.fm. Sign up today. We'll be right back.
Oh.